The Pleasure of His Company by Cornelia Otis Skinner and Samuel Taylor has been adapted for radio by Peggy Wells, with George Baker as Biddeford Poole, Vivian Drummond as Kate, his former wife, and Belinda Carroll as their daughter, Jessica. The scene is the living room of a house high on a hill in San Francisco, overlooking the Golden Gate. And the play opens on a Monday afternoon in June, in the late 1950s. The Pleasure of His Company.
Here we are at last.
Jim, you won't forget that box.
No, leave it to me.
I've got the suit, Mother.
Careful, darling.
I'm balancing the box on my head to show how steady my nerves are, Mother.
The word is tremulous, Jessica. And it's what you're supposed to be, darling. Oh, thank God this day is over. Just look at all our parcels. But we did get everything.
Hat, shoes, gloves, going away dress, bag, stockings, bra, slip, cape. Cape? Oh, Mother, my mink cape.
Now don't panic. Here it is.
Oh, if I lost that, I wouldn't get married.
Well, more presents. Oh, just look at that pile. A stack of mail, too.
Isn't it awful? I feel like such a moocher. You are cordially invited to my wedding. Kindly remit gifts. I might as well pass the plate in church.
Why hasn't anybody thought of that? Oh, the Platts aren't coming. Fun, though, isn't it?
Wonderful fun.
What's fun? A wedding?
Jim, I want you to do something for me.
What?
I want you to call all the society editors and tell them to say that the bride was as cool as a cucumber.
And much, much prettier.
Thank you, Jim.
Jessica, check off those presents and put them in your book.
Wow, look at all the cocktail shakers.
Lovely, dear.
That makes nine.
Dear, if you don't write those things in your bridal book, you'll get them all mixed up.
Okay, but I don't see why all your friends think I'm an alcoholic.
Oh, my feet.
You want a drink?
Pretty soon. You did take care of the liquor.
Yep, everything under control.
And you're sure the governor's coming?
He'll be here.
Jim, you know something?
Hmm?
Jess really is cool as a cucumber. It bothers me.
Oh, you can't tell inside.
No, I can tell. And it does bother me. A girl of 21 and in love and about to be married.
She'll behave as her mother behaved when she was that young and in love and about to be married. How were you, Kate? As the young virgin approaching her bridal bed.
Cool as a cucumber.
Uh-huh.
Father, what a lovely surprise.
Well, the Hermit of Monterey. Welcome to San Francisco, sir.
How are you, Jim?
We didn't expect you till later in the week.
A pocket of fog came and sat on my shoulder, and I had a sudden hankering for the flesh bath. Well, daughter, how is the squirrel of the San Francisco hills? Still racing around in the cage.
I can't stop.
Nah, she doesn't want to.
Better not to. While there's motion, there may be life. Where's my granddaughter?
Jessica, come see. Father, where are your bags?
I left them at the club.
Oh, darling, surely you'll stay with us this time.
No.
Well, here we are with all those guests.
When the criminal returns to the scene of the crime, he puts up at the Bohemian Club.
Mother, there's a great big silver bow, but I can't. Grandfather!
Hello, person.
Hello, person. You've come down out of your ivory tower. I'm glad.
Only one thing could have brought me. Are you happy?
Happier now. I've missed you. Well, you come so seldom.
And you not at all. They ask for you on Point La Bosse. The waves pound at the rocks in fury, and the seagulls circle and complain because you stayed away.
My cypress tree... Does my lonely cypress still reach patiently for the sky?
Patiently and reproachfully.
Ah.
I've told it that you were to be married. And there's a different sound now when the wind blows through.
Oh, Grandfather.
You do serve liquor here, don't you?
Right away. Kate?
Not just now.
Well, now.
You'll stay for dinner, Father.
I will.
Just Jim and I. The young are being gay down the peninsula.
Oh, Grandfather.
Hmm?
Well, Jim gave me a mink cape as a going-away present.
No, that ought to knock him dead in Paris.
Oh, we're not going to Paris on our honeymoon, Grandfather.
Oh, why not?
Well, Roger got a notice of a big cattle auction in Hawaii, and there's a prize bull he thinks he might want to buy. So we decided to kill two birds with one stone.
Practical, eh? Couldn't he buy a bull in Paris?
Paris can be hot at this time of year.
I dug out some of the ancestral bourbon.
Thank you, Jim.
How's the book coming, Father?
I write at it when I can tear myself away from the view of Monterey Bay.
Father, Jim and I want to talk to you.
Hmm? What about?
Jim thinks you ought to be the one to give the bride away.
Oh, now, Kate.
Oh, dear.
Oh, why?
He's being noble.
I'm not being noble, but I'm her stepfather, and she worships you.
She worships you, too, Jim. She has an infinite capacity for worship.
Well, there are times when I think you've had a lot more to do with bringing her up than either one of us, and... well, I'd just like to see you walk down the aisle with her, that's all.
That is noble of you, Jim, and sentimental. Have you consulted the bride? She might have some thoughts on the matter.
Oh, no. I mean, yes. I mean, couldn't you both do it?
Honey, if all the men who worship you were to walk down the aisle with you, it'd look like a Shriner's parade.
Oh, I think I'll go and try my things on. Well, don't go away, Grandfather.
I'll be here. I take it you haven't heard from Biddeford Poole Esquire, the rightful father.
Not a word.
Have you tried to get in touch with him?
I wrote to him 2 months ago, and Jim sent a cable for me last week.
All we have is the address of his solicitors in London.
Well, that should have done it. Don't you think it's strange, Kate?
No, I don't. In 15 years, he's written to Jessica exactly 3 times. He's remembered her birthday exactly 2 times, and he never heard of Christmas. Why should he let his daughter's wedding disturb his gay, roving life? A fabulous Pogo Pool, international playboy, sportsman, globetrotter, heel.
I detect a slight note of rancor.
Father, you will give her away.
No.
Why not?
I love and respect Jessica too much to give her away.
Why, so do we all, but...
but convention demands it. What convention, daughter? That when a young woman reaches a certain age, she must be disposed of as quickly as possible. Why must marriage be thought of as a fixed law of nature like gravity? She needn't be given away.
Don't you approve of this marriage?
No, I do not.
Well, you never said so.
I've never been asked. I used to be a contentious man, but as I grew older, I lost my nerve. I wait to be asked now.
Roger's a good boy, Mr. Savage.
I'm sure. He's not my concern. But I have a granddaughter with wit and intelligence and a sweet love of life. She has an inquiring spirit and an eagerness to explore and a capacity for living that delight me. How will she use them now? Cut down in the prime of her life by marriage.
Father, we all agree that you're slightly mad, but since you agree, we're not quite sure.
Why give her to somebody else to use? She hasn't begun to use herself. She's hardly begun to know how. Let her hear her own music. Let her step to the beat of her own drummer. Do what you love. Know your own bone. Gnaw at it. Bury it. Unearth it. And gnaw it still.
Who said that?
Henry David Thoreau.
He was mad, too. There's something about solitude.
Catherine, do you approve of this marriage?
I certainly do. But I did not, as you imply, engineer it.
Do you, Jim?
Oh, I'm only her stepfather.
Jim!
Oh, but I most certainly do approve. Yes, of course I approve.
I'll disqualify you if you like. Yes, of course you approve. You say we three have brought Jessica up, but I've indulged myself. I taught her the useless things. You were more realistic than I. You brought her up to know how to live in this lunch on Monday, tea on Tuesday world of yours. And the measure of your success is that she is now well-trained and equipped to be the mate of a wealthy breeder of bulls.
Father, Jessica has fallen in love. This sort of thing happens every day. Boys and girls fall in love. It is announced in the papers, and families gather and presents are sent. And then they marry, and God willing, live happily ever after.
Don't put the responsibility on God. He didn't ask for it.
You don't believe that marriages are made in heaven?
We do not know what they do in heaven, but what they do not do, we are told precisely. They neither marry nor are given in marriage.
And who said that?
I did.
I don't believe you.
All right, Jonathan Swift.
You were always a non-domestic animal, Father.
I'm not pleading the case of the non-domestic male. It is a rapidly disappearing breed. The young men have become shy and frail and dispirited. They're the ones who need the security of marriage, the dull comfort of marriage, the sanctuary of marriage. Let them wait. All they can offer is an inclination to breed. Why should we give them our daughters? No. Let the young women have the time of their lives and breed at a time of their choosing.
Jessica wants to breed now.
Oh, she's inclined to the act, not the moral sanction. It's a common confusion.
We're getting into morality.
Morality is merely...
Father, you are not writing your book. I want to ask you a question.
What?
Will you walk down the aisle with Jessica?
Yes. But I must warn you that when the preacher looks up and says, "Who giveth this woman?" and everyone turns and looks at me, I may easily say, "Not guilty."
Thank you, Father.
Sir, morality is merely what?
Low blood pressure.
Oh.
Is there more where this drink came from, or were your ancestors careful?
Come along.
Father.
Yes?
You were never very happy with Mother, were you?
Your mother was a saint who made our home an outpost of heaven. It's why I spent so much time in saloons.
Come along, you old reprobate. I'll give you another drink. Sure is good to have
you. Well, I suppose I better sort through this mail.
Yes, Toy, that room will do very well. Hello, Catherine.
Pogo!
You were expecting.
No, we weren't. I mean, yes, we... Where the hell did you come from?
Kenya. Africa.
I know where Kenya is.
I'm sorry I couldn't let you know I was coming. I was moving too fast. And then I seem to have mislaid your address. I had to look it up at the airport when I got in.
It was perfectly all right. After all, we were expecting you.
The cable only caught up with me the day before yesterday, so you
I wrote you a letter months ago.
I didn't get it.
Oh. Well, anyway, you're here.
Yes.
Did you bring your wife? I mentioned in my letter. Oh, but then, of course, you didn't get it.
I have no wife.
Again?
I'm not very retentive, am I?
A bit slipshod. I take it she's divorced, not dead. And that makes...
Only three. Counting you.
Yes. I suppose you have to count me.
I insist on counting you. You're looking very well, Kate.
Thank you. I suppose this is the moment for each of us to say you haven't changed.
No point in saying it unless we have. Have you?
Of course.
Oh? Let's have a look at you. Very good.
Would you like to look at my teeth?
I'm quite impressed.
What did you expect in 15 years? Fatty degeneration?
You've borne the burden of the years very nicely.
You've had the same amount of burden, you know.
Ah, but you're one of those lucky ones that improve with age. You've ripened.
I shall go on a diet tomorrow. Where are you staying? If we'd known you were coming, we would have reserved...
Here.
A room for... Here?
Your houseboy was good enough to take me in while you were out. I knew you wouldn't want me to stay anywhere else.
No, of course not, but...
Father of the bride and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yes, of course, mm-hmm. but... Now, why the hell am I being polite? Pogo, I would much prefer it if you went to a hotel.
Ah, no, Kate. Think how it would look. We must consider our daughter.
We must consider our daughter.
She is our daughter.
Did Toy get you settled?
Beautifully settled. Delightful room, delicious view.
Of Green Street? I'm surprised you didn't preempt one of the rooms looking out on the bay.
I'm crazy about this house, Kate. Is it very old?
By San Francisco standards. Jim's grandfather built it in the 1880s. Of course, by European standards, that's only yesterday.
Sometimes the immediate past is furthest away.
They say every true San Franciscan has one foot on a hill and the other in the past. I love this house more than anything I've ever had.
You've settled in.
Deep into the woodwork. I become part of something that is sure and settled and permanent. That's been lived in and will go on being lived in.
By Doherty.
I'm a Doherty.
What about Jessica?
Her name is still yours until Saturday. Then it becomes Henderson. I'll call her down.
No, not yet. She seems very much like me. From her letters, I mean.
Yes, she is. She has all your charm and your gift for music.
Well, she wrote me she was studying with someone very good here.
Yes, very good.
Why didn't you send her to New York?
She's not that good. She'll always be a gifted... amateur.
Like me.
That's all she wants to be.
But she looks like you.
No, I'd say more like your mother.
Has she nothing of you?
Well, she bumps into furniture.
You're beginning to sound more like someone I know. What's he like? Doherty.
Why not meet Jim and judge for yourself?
I'd rather you prepared me. Will he be hearty man to man and slap me on the back, or will he glower?
He'll behave like a human being.
That's repeating my question. Tell me about it.
He's very much of a person.
Oh, that's like saying he's so real.
Very well. He is your age, exactly. He's an attorney. Mm-hmm. It's an old family firm, highly respected. He's a native son in the best meaning of the term. Head of the Harbor Commission, a strong power in California politics, extremely popular.
I am not asking for business, political, and social credentials. What's he like with you?
Oh, Pogo, you sound like a social worker. Does your husband treat you good?
Well, does he?
Damn good. He's a wonderful guy, and I'm extremely happy with him.
So there.
Just sit tight, sir, and I'll bring him to you.
Oh, Jim, this is my husband. Oh.
I'm delighted to meet you, Mr. Doherty. Kate's been telling me all about you.
But she didn't tell you we were married.
Oh, Jim.
It's all right, Kate. I can prove I'm your husband.
And I can prove I'm not. It sounds as though we should congratulate each other, but somehow it would seem rude, wouldn't it?
I'm glad you've come. We're just about giving you up, and Jessica would have been disappointed.
I would have been horribly disappointed. It was good of you to think of asking me.
But naturally we would ask you, after all.
No, not many in your position would. After all, you must look on Jessica as your own daughter.
Yes, of course I do. But she is your daughter, and...
And there are quite a few I know who in your position would have felt that I had no right to be here. It was damn decent of me.
Nonsense, you're her father. Not only have you every right to be here, but just...
But it would have been so easy to forget to let me know. I can't tell you how touched I was when that cable arrived. Signed by you.
Well, that was purely accidental. Kate asked me to send
it. No, there was something about seeing your name signed to it that made me feel...
Well, naturally, I was anxious.
Oh, will you two stop being so chummy?
Your father wants to see the evening papers.
I've been admiring your house.
Yes, it's a good one. My grandfather built it. You'll find him there in that picture, alongside James J. Hill. It's the driving of the Golden Spike when they completed the first transcontinental railroad.
Charming.
Have you come a long way?
South Africa.
Hmm?
My letter didn't reach him, but your cable caught up with him in South Africa.
Kenya.
And Kenya's in East Africa, Kate.
Well, it's down that way.
Did you find the papers, Jim?
Hello, Mr. Savage. Do you remember me?
Yes, I do. How are you, Biddeford?
Couldn't be better. I'm happy to see you, sir.
I take it you've come to give the bride away.
I most certainly have.
Good. It will make Jessica happy. Where do you come from?
Nairobi.
That's quite a way. Do you have the papers there, Jim?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. You're well traveled, Biddeford.
I do seem to get about, don't I? It was really a miracle that the runner found me.
Were you on safari?
No, I haven't been shooting this year. I broke my shoulder skiing last winter.
Oh, yes, we read about that.
So I've just been pottering about. Then an old army chum of mine turned up on his way to do a bit of exploration for a mining company. And I thought I'd trot along, stir up the blood a bit. As a matter of fact, it was Binks McAllister, Kate. You remember Binks?
Of course. That spring in Venice.
Wonderful chap, Binks. Absolutely fearless. I rather hated to leave him, but of course, the cable came and I turned right around and trekked back to Nairobi. From there, I flew to Cairo, Cairo to Rome, Rome to Paris, Paris, New York, New York, San Francisco, and...
Hey, look at me. I put on everything. Oh.
Jessica?
Oh, you're here.
Yes.
I wasn't sure you'd come.
You could have been. Hello, daughter.
Oh, I'm so glad. Hello, father. And did you come from the ends of the earth?
The green hills of Africa.
Yes, I was sure.
I've brought something for you. May I give it to you now?
Oh, yes, please.
It belonged to my grandmother. She left it to me with a simple instruction that I must keep it and give it one day to someone that she might have loved. I've kept it for you. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, how beautiful. What diamond and emerald necklace. How perfectly beautiful.
It doesn't quite go with what you're wearing, but let me put it on for you.
Oh, Mother, look. Oh, I'm speechless.
So am I.
Oh, I must find a mirror. Where on earth's the nearest one?
It is pretty, isn't it?
It's a beautiful thing. My, she's pleased.
I got it out of the vault in Paris on the way. You can see why I had to get here.
I think your grandmother would be quite touched, Biddeford, to know you saved that diamond and emerald necklace for your daughter.
Thank you, sir. So do I.
Well, quite the day. Quite the day.
Diamonds and emeralds, huh?
Yes. It's an old Italian piece. 48 diamonds and, I don't remember how many emeralds.
32.
Hmm?
I said 32.
Just the most absolutely beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's for just the most absolutely beautiful thing I have ever seen.
Oh, Father, I'm so happy you're here. And not just for this.
Would you take me without diamonds?
No.
I have nothing else to offer but love.
Take back your jewels and I'll settle for that.
Well, I'll just run up. I'm a bit grimy from the office. By the way, where are you staying?
He's staying here.
Here?
I came straight here from the airport, you see.
Oh, but that's wonderful.
Oh, yes, fine. Of course you have to stay here with us. We wouldn't dream of letting you go to a hotel.
Oh, that's awfully good of you, old man.
Not at all. We've all the room in the world.
I'll try not to be a nuisance.
Anything I can do for you to get you settled?
Thank you. I've been very well taken care of.
Oh, that's good.
Well, daughter, let's have a look at you. We've done well, Kate, haven't we? And you were being foolishly modest. Jessica does have something of you. Certain little mannerisms, the way she looks at me, for instance. I remember that look. I think. I must say, the two of you make a lovely picture together.
People sometimes take her for my sister.
Oh, Jessica.
Well, of course, I wouldn't, but then I know.
Would you like a drink?
No, thanks.
Kate!
Oh, dear, what's happened now?
Kate, could I see you upstairs for a minute?
Oh, yes, Jim. Excuse me, I don't suppose I'll be very long.
Well, daughter?
You're just the way I hoped you would be. And you look terribly young.
Thank you. Do you think people might take me for your brother?
Oh, yes.
I hope not. I much prefer being your father.
Well, what the hell are the guest rooms for?
God damn it, my study is my study.
Nothing wrong, I hope.
No, I don't think so. But we do a lot of shouting around this house.
You've had fun growing up here. Many friends. It seems there's going to be quite a wedding.
Oh, yes. Well, everybody who's anybody will be here. Funny, though, it's mostly for Jim. He's terribly important.
Tell me about your beau. I didn't get your mother's letter.
Oh, his name is Roger Henderson, and he's divine.
That just about covers everything.
Oh, we met at college. He was 2 years ahead of me. Stanford, one of those wild campus romances. He was an all-American tackle. Mm. Big man on campus. All the girls swooned.
But he only had eyes for you.
Mm. And he's smart, too. And sweet, gentle, and kind.
What does he do?
Oh, he's a rancher. Oh, his family has a big ranch up in Sonoma County in the Valley of the Moon. Well, they breed Black Angus, and his father's retiring. And they're moving away, so Roger will run it alone. And Father, he's wonderful at it. People say the way he's taken hold, well, he'll probably have the best herd of Aberdeen Angus in the country in another 10 years. He's terribly progressive and has all sorts of wonderful ideas about selective breeding and artificial insemination and all that sort of thing.
You must be very proud of him.
Oh, Father, you'll like him. I know you will. He just hasn't got a fault, honestly. Oh, and the ranch is so beautiful. Soft, green, rolling hills.
You'll like living there?
Adore it.
Enough to stay put? Forever?
Oh, I think we'll get around a bit. Or later on. Or after we're settled. And Roger has the ranch running the way he wants it. Oh, I've been to Europe. Oh, Mother and Jim took me for 6 weeks the summer I got out of college. Well, you were in India or Pakistan.
Hyderabad. My last wife was devoted to elephants. How did you know where I was?
Oh, I always know where you are. I always have.
How?
From news photographs and the glossy magazines. Well, you're always in something or other. There was a big costume ball at Biarritz, and you were standing behind the Marquis de Kumu, and only the back of your head showed. But I know the back of your head anywhere.
I've always held it against my mother.
You are famous. Well, I have loads of big fat scrapbooks upstairs to prove it.
Perhaps the better word is notorious. And so you followed me about the world.
Oh, yes. It's been fun. Like the adventure stories I used to read as a child. Pogo Pool in the Scottish Highlands. Pogo Pool at Ascot. Pogo Pool in the Isles of Greece. Pogo Pool in his racing car. I always look forward to finding something new. Oh, it let me feel that I had you.
In the only way you could. I'm not very good at letters.
Oh, it didn't matter.
And the things like birthdays slip by. I've many things to be sorry for.
No, you haven't.
Pogo Pool and his mechanical heart. And now I've returned to give away something I never had.
Oh, that's not true. When I was 30, our teacher in English told us to write a description of something or someone we loved. I still remember what I wrote. My father was a famous athlete in college. And he plays the piano beautifully. He travels around the world a lot. I love him very much. I spelled beautifully wrong. And I did a sketch of you to go with it. It was terrible. It made you look like a Doberman Pinscher.
That lean and hungry look?
Yes. Well, you could have been a great pianist if you'd worked at it.
Who told you that?
Mother, I guess.
It's not true. I did work at it. And I wasn't good enough. I'm a man who has always demanded last things first. To be captain the day I went out for football, to make the Olympic Games the day I took up skiing. It sometimes took a little longer than I expected. I only tricked myself once. I decided to be the greatest pianist in the world, and I discovered it wasn't in me. So I said, the hell with it, and went about my business.
What?
Pleasure.
I don't believe it was as simple as that.
Well, it wasn't simple at all. A life of pleasure demands concentration and self-discipline far beyond the capabilities of most. One may be trivial about many things, but never about pleasure. Don't ever try it. It's frightfully exhausting. There's so much to see, so much to do, and so little time. So little time.
I know.
You?
Oh, I worry terribly about people dying before they can do all the things they want to do.
Well,
sometimes when I'm playing Mozart, I find myself crying because he died so young. When I read Keats or Shelley, I'm a terrible weeper.
Do not weep for Adonais. He is dead.
But
weep for the quick, but not the dead. The ones who have to keep running. But at my back I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near. Do you know that one? Andrew Marvel. Actually, he was making love to a young lady and was getting a bit impatient, but still.
What's it called?
To his coy mistress.
Oh, Father.
Well, have you two discovered each other?
We certainly have.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Pogo. She writes poetry, too.
Oh, Mother.
Hey, is my girl home?
Hey, Roger. Father's here. He just arrived, and look what he bought me.
She really is pleased with the necklace, isn't she?
She should be. I was, too.
What do you mean?
When you gave it to me.
I never gave it to you.
You gave it to me the night before we were married, and then you took it away when you left. That's stealing.
Nonsense. Why would I give it to you when I always knew I would keep it for my daughter? You're confusing yourself with somebody else. It was Mona I took it away from.
Who?
The second Mrs. Poole.
I've never had the pleasure of meeting the second Mrs. Poole.
The pleasure was negligible. Or it may have been, Natalie, the next one. Yes, you're confusing yourself with both.
I'm confusing myself with no one. You put it round my neck in the very same way. I was touched and moved because you used the very same words. Do you think a woman forgets a thing like that? Your grandmother's simple instruction, I must keep it and give it one day to someone that she might have loved. I kept it for you. Your grandmother must be whirling in her grave.
My grandmother was a sweet, sedentary old lady and still is, I hope. And since you've brought up the unpleasant subject of stealing, let me point out to you that that picture is mine. And that. You may keep the one of the golden spike, but the Augustus John portrait of Jessica.
If you lay a hand on that portrait, I'll. Where is it?
I took it up to my room. Your man showed me in here when I arrived.
You will bring it back down.
Never.
And you will get the hell out of Jim's study. You should never have been put there.
Now, I consider that extremely petty. When I heard it had a view of the bay, a bed, and a bath, I told your man it sounded just right for me.
Hey, Father, here he is. Roger, this is my father.
Hello, Mr. Poole. I'm very happy to meet you.
So you're the young man who's taking my little girl away from me.
I hope you won't mind too much. Hello, Mrs. Dougherty.
Hello, Roger.
I'm sure you know how much it means to Jessica for you to be here, sir. And that's quite a thing you brought her.
I only held the necklace in trust for her. A sacred trust.
Well, may I wear it to the party tonight?
Certainly. Everybody in town will know about it by tomorrow. Well, I guess this is as good a time as any for me to say that, to say how wonderful your daughter is, and that I know I'm just about the luckiest guy in the world. I hope you're going to feel happy about it.
Darling, save your speeches for the Ashes dinner. He'll be asking you for my hand next, Father.
As he already seems to be in full possession of it. Allow me to give him mine.
Thank you, sir.
And to add my hearty congratulations.
Thank you.
Well,
listen, Jess, this isn't my wedding present to you, so I can tell you what I've been doing this afternoon. I've sold Mother's old piano and got you a new one. A great big grand.
Oh, Roger!
Why, Roger, how wonderful.
The fella said it was the best piano in the place.
Hello, Roger.
Hello, Mr. Dougherty.
Any of these people think of offering you a drink?
I won't have one now, thank you.
Oh, I say, old man, I do hope I'm not putting you out too much. I had to club your man toy over the head to make him put me in your study. But I knew you wouldn't want me to come to San Francisco and be deprived of that magnificent view.
No, of course not. You won't mind if I have to come in from time to time to get at something?
Not at all. Feel perfectly free.
Oh, I get it. Hello? Oh, yes, Liz, he's right here. Your sister, Roger.
Thanks. Hello, Liz. What do you mean? When did it happen? There wasn't anything wrong with him this morning. I took a look at him just before I left.
Well, what's the matter, Roger?
Governor's got pneumonia, Jess.
Oh.
His father, Kate?
No, his prize bull.
Oh.
Liz, is he down? Can you ease his breathing? Is Dr. Sampler there? What do you mean, something else? Don't be silly. It's probably something he ate. Well, how's his stool? Well, put it under the microscope. All right. Yeah, right away. Yeah, right away. Goodbye.
Oh, Roger, that's terrible.
How is his stool?
Oh, really?
The doctor thinks he may have brucellosis, too.
Oh, what's that?
Contagious abortion.
In a bull?
It's terribly serious, Mother. Well, he can pass it around.
Will you have to go out to the ranch?
Yes, right away. I'm sorry.
Oh, but Roger, the party tonight.
I'm sorry, honey. I've got to get out there.
Oh, well, I've got a new dress and the necklace.
Oh, that is a shame. But, darling, there'll be mobs of people there. You can go with another couple.
I suppose so, but it...
I'll call Liz back and say I can't get there till tomorrow morning.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Ah, Jess, the doctor's there.
Oh,
and
but Governor's worth $50,000. He's Roger's most precious asset.
Not you.
I'm going to call Liz.
No, Roger. I'll go to the ranch with you.
Don't be silly. This party's for you. You have to show up.
Yes, dear, you must.
Oh, but Roger has to go to the ranch. I know that.
This may not be the perfect solution, but would there be any point in a tottering, decrepit old gentleman offering himself as a substitute?
To go to the ranch?
No, I'm not much of a veterinarian, but I can dance.
Hey, that's an idea. Jess, would you mind?
Mind? Oh, Father, would you?
Ah, no, it's sweet of your father to offer, dear, but I'm afraid he wouldn't have a very good time with all the
and
young...
And he must be terribly tired after flying all the way from...
Africa.
I am not a bit tired.
Jessica, why don't you call Sally Clark?
Oh, no, Mother, this is exciting.
I'll feel a lot better, sir, knowing she's with you.
I shall never leave her side.
Oh, wait till the girls see you. I'll be trampled on in the rush.
I've got to go. I'm sorry this happened. I'll try to get back on Wednesday. Come on, Jess, see me out.
And you'll have dinner with me, you and your girl. We've got to get acquainted.
Sure thing.
Oh, what fun. Come on, Roger.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Roger.
Goodbye, Roger.
I should make it in a couple of hours.
Well, don't drive too fast.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Well, I had no idea bulls were so delicate. Brucellosis. Black tie, I suppose. Do you think your man could press my dinner jacket?
He probably already has.
Going to be fun.
I'm as excited as though it were my first ball.
It's too bad for Roger.
Oh, Mother, he never minds missing a party.
Do we have to leave soon?
Oh, no, we've loads of time.
Then I want to hear you play. Where do you keep your piano?
I want you to play for me.
Oh, I have many times, though you don't remember. It's your turn. Come along.
The music room's the other side of the hall.
Right. I'm awfully glad you asked me to the wedding, Kate. Where exactly did you say the music room was?
I am damned if I'll call him Pogo.
Everybody calls him Pogo.
You could have been there the other night, Roger. They swooned. They absolutely swooned. All the girls kept getting me in corners and saying, but he can't be your father. He's absolutely divine. And I kept saying, well, he certainly is my father.
Sweet child.
Oh, you really are a divine dancer, Father.
Wonderful exercise dancing keeps everything loose. You're getting an enchanting girl, Roger. I hope you know that.
Yes, sir, I do.
Ah, if I were your age and not her father, I'd make you fight me for her, boy.
I wish I could.
And now tonight, Father's dinner. What an absolutely perfect night. The dinner, the wine, walking home through the fog. Oh, but we shouldn't have walked home through the fog. You'll catch cold, Father.
I never catch cold.
Wasn't it dreamy, Roger?
Yeah. I'm grateful to you for the fog. I was afraid you might not produce any for me.
Oh, we always have it on tap in San Francisco.
Well, it's time for me to be running along.
Oh, Roger.
I'm sorry, Jess. I've been up two nights with that bull, and I'm flaked out.
No, no. I'll say goodnight first. There comes a time. Jessica?
Good night. Oh, I shall never forget tonight. It was all perfection.
Something to put in the scrapbook?
Yes.
We've had fun these 2 days.
Wonderful fun.
And done quite mad things.
Well, they were the best.
Thank you for showing me your city.
Oh, no, it's been you. Everything new through your eyes. Thank you for showing me my city.
I wish I could show you the world.
Oh, it would be nice.
Good night, daughter. Good night, Roger.
Good night, sir, and thank you.
You do look a bit washed out. Better get some rest.
Oh, my. He is wonderful, isn't he? He remembered that Mother loves Mimosa more than anything. So do I. Oh, look at the masses he bought. Oh, Roger, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, there must be something the matter. You've hardly said a word all evening.
I'd better go.
Oh, no, really, I want to know. What is it?
Look, Jess, I've got to get some sleep.
Oh, will you kindly stand still and tell me what's wrong?
I'll call you tomorrow.
Oh, Roger!
I'm not the continental type, that's all. Look, you go ahead and have a ball with your father, and I'll see you at the church on Saturday. Good night.
Roger Henderson, you come back here.
Look, Jess, I've had a very tough week, and tonight's been a very tough night.
Well, Father planned it for you. We went to all kinds of trouble and planned the dinner specially so we could get acquainted with you.
Well, it didn't take. My French isn't good enough.
Oh, we didn't speak French all evening.
I wonder what it was.
It just so happens that we were in a French restaurant, and the proprietor was a Frenchman. And when you speak to a Frenchman, you speak French.
Not if he's been in America for 30 years and speaks English better than I do.
You seem to be weak in all languages.
My French is just as good as yours. Épatant, merveilleux. La salade était magnifique. It was salad. Plain, ordinary salad.
It wasn't plain, ordinary salad. It had plain cress in it and wild dandelion leaves.
That's what my cattle eat. And you don't see them dancing around yelling, Épatant, merveilleux.
Oh, you and your cattle.
Now let me tell you something as a cattleman.
That's all I ever hear.
That beef we had. It's a crime to take good prime beef and pour brown gunk all over it.
Brown gunk? What do you mean to call that heavenly sauce brown gunk?
Brown gunk. And what makes you think your father discovered that little French restaurant? My Aunt Sarah goes there for dinner twice a week.
Your Aunt Sarah gives me a pain.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, did you have fun?
How was it? A big night? We just had to get up and hear all about it.
All I said was you don't have to say it
right.
One would think you were already married.
Anything serious?
No.
Yes, Roger hated the whole evening.
I didn't say that. I just don't see why I have to be ignored all these years.
Right, no. I gather that you and your father had a wonderful time, Jessica.
Yes, we did.
And that Roger didn't.
I certainly did not.
Well, I suppose I could have warned you, Roger.
I was way out in left field all evening.
Oh, that's not true. Well, Father made a tremendous effort. We kept turning to Roger all the time. He even asked him how his old bull was.
He asked me in French.
Well, you might have answered him instead of just saying okay. Okay, 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 okay. That's all you ever said.
Okay.
Jessica.
Oh, Mother, it was a wonderful dinner. Well, Father went down to the restaurant yesterday 24 hours ahead and planned the whole thing with the chef so it would be perfect. And then when they served the beef, he scraped off the sauce.
Oh, Jess, I'm sorry. I didn't think you noticed.
Now, Jess, it's not that serious, and I'm sure your father doesn't mind. As a matter of fact, it takes a certain amount of bravery to scrape the sauce off. I've often wanted to, never had the nerve.
Jim's right. Now, come along. Here's my handkerchief. Have a good blow. The evening's over, your father's gone to bed, and when you're married, you can serve the sauce on the side. Did you have trouble getting home in the fog?
We walked.
Oh, that was fun. You didn't get too wet?
No.
And what did you do when you got home? We heard you come in quite a while ago.
We danced for a bit.
Well, that was fun. You and Roger danced while your father watched.
Well.
No.
Oh.
Oh. Well, anyway, the evening's over.
And no bones broken. All we have to do is to get the blood off the carpet. Roger, go home. We all need our sleep. After you've kissed and made up, of course. Would you like us old folk to retire?
Good night, Jess. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Jess. Would you mind very much, sir, retiring?
Oh, no, Roger. I'm not up to that.
Okay. Good night, Mrs. Dougherty.
Good night, Roger.
Good night, Roger.
Good night, sir.
Jim, I'll be up in a moment.
Okay. Good night, Jess.
Good night, Jim.
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Would you like a glass of milk, dear?
No, thanks.
It'd be a good idea. I imagine you had quite a bit of wine. A bottle of white, a bottle of red, and a bottle of champagne.
Yes.
That's a lot of bottles. What did you have to eat?
First, quenelle de brochet aux écrevisses.
Oh, fish balls.
Mother!
With shrimp sauce, very good. What else?
And then, a very special dish of Father's that he invented when I was very small, he said. And we three were living in the south of France on Cap Ferrat.
What?
Bœuf à la manière de Mass Mistral.
That? Did he say he invented that?
Well, I guess he said the two of you worked it out together.
How gracious of him.
Well, Mass Mistral was the name of our house, wasn't it? Well, he described it to me. Oh, it sounded enchanting.
It was. It was also crawling with ants.
Oh, Mother, you did have fun.
Yes, we did. We also quarreled like fury. We threw things at each other.
I know, he told me.
And did that sound enchanting, too? It wasn't. Distance doesn't lend enchantment to the quarrels.
Mother, what's the matter with me?
Nothing serious.
Well, what?
Perhaps it's what the columns to the Lovelorn call premarital nerves.
Oh, pooh, I don't believe in that.
Neither do I. That's for men.
Well, then?
I'm afraid you're suffering from a rather violent attack of pogo poo.
Oh?
It's a common female complaint, but not fatal. You treat it as you would a touch of liver. Eat lightly, drink moderately, go for long walks.
Is it terribly catching?
I've seen it run through a party of females like wildfire. I'm an authority on the subject. I had one of the most serious attacks known to man.
And got over it.
Thank God.
Mother.
And still, it's one of the more grateful diseases. Once you've had an attack, you're immune, but not sorry you had it. It's like vaccination.
All my life, I've romanticized my father. I build up a picture in my mind of the gayest, most charming, most exciting man in the world. And then he came back. I wasn't disappointed or disillusioned or let down. Well, that's not too bad, is it?
No, that's awfully good. And I want you to love him. Especially now, I think.
Well, why especially now?
I suspect he's between people for the moment. And that's always hard for him. He has to have someone. Oh, not crowds of people, though he dearly loves an audience. But someone to love him. To look to him for joy and amusement. To give him substance. He's much more dependent on others than he would ever admit.
Time has become the enemy.
What made you say that?
He said it.
Did he?
About time, hurrying after. And he has to keep running.
I shouldn't think he'd admit it, but it's true. With time, a man like that finds there's a little more strain involved. The fun isn't quite as spontaneous. It becomes more of an effort to climb the Matterhorn and swim the Hellespont and make love to three women at once. And I should think that a feeling of panic would set in.
And it'll get worse as he gets older, won't it?
Now, don't start weeping for his old age quite yet. He has a few good years left.
He ought to have someone like you.
For his old age? I don't have to volunteer. It's called double jeopardy. Besides, he's found someone else.
Who?
You.
Oh.
Oh, yes. His newly discovered daughter. It's as though he'd just given birth to you, full grown, and he's entranced with what he produced. You're his new toy.
I wish he'd come back 5 years ago.
So do I, for you both. But he's missed the boat. You're taken. You see that, don't you?
Yes.
Funny. I ought to get a lot of satisfaction out of this. Let's go to bed, dear.
Mother, are you really completely cured?
The doctors say I made an amazing recovery.
I should think it would seem strange to have Father here in the house now, with Jim.
I do feel a bit illegal.
And when you swept in with all this mimosa, just as you did in the old days.
Well?
Didn't you feel a slight quiver?
Not even a quiver. I only wondered if it would keep until Saturday. I'm afraid it won't. That's the trouble with mimosa. It dries up. Hello, Pogo.
Hello. I thought I was a lone night prowler. Is this exclusively for mothers and daughters, or may an old father barge in?
Oh, just big girl talk, you know, life.
Come to any conclusions?
But life is sad.
It's just the fog. The horns going moo, moo. Did you ever hear a rhinoceros in labor? I came down for a nightcap.
Oh, I'll get it for you. What would you like?
A splash of brandy and a tall glass of soda.
Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll have one.
I ate too much.
Would you like some bicarb?
No, the brandy and soda should do it. That was quite a dinner tonight.
Yes, I heard.
The strong, silent bridegroom seemed a trifle glum.
No, he can talk, if given a chance.
Moo. Are you happy about this marriage, Kate?
Very.
You don't think Jessica's a bit young and untried?
No more than I was when I married.
Ah, but look how that turned out. We wouldn't want it to happen again, would we?
It won't.
No, he's not much like me, is he?
I'd say he's the very antithesis of you.
I never met an antithesis. Is that what they're like? True blue, tried and true, up and coming, down to earth?
You underestimate the enemy, Pogo. Roger's a tough, strong-minded young man who knows where he's going and knows what he wants. And he's got her. It's as simple as that.
It's never that simple.
But I got that bottle of old cognac, Mother. Well, Jim won't mind, will he?
No, dear.
Thank you, dear.
I've changed my mind. I think I will have a glass of milk. Mother, would you like one?
No, thanks.
Father, would it be awful if I had a piece of cake to go with it?
I'll have a piece, too.
Oh, good. Hello? Oh, Roger, you fool. No, it was my fault. It was all my fault. Well, I certainly ought to know if it... Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. Yes. Well, are you sure? No, I'm just about to go to bed with a glass of milk and a piece of cake. Roger! What? Come on, chérie. Oui, faute de mieux. Ah, oui, chérie. Je t'aime. Good night, darling. Good night. All's well. I'll go and get the cake.
You know, if only Romeo had had a telephone instead of that bumbling Friar Lawrence.
You're going to take that drink up, aren't you?
I'd rather finish it down here, Kate, if you'll stay.
I don't think I'd be very good company.
I never found you dull.
That was in another country.
And the mimosa doesn't take you back?
No.
I thought it might.
Old songs don't do anything either.
No, I've never had any faith in that. You've kept out of my way, Kate.
Have I? I hadn't noticed. I'm running a wedding, you know.
I've missed you, Kate. In the years between.
You don't have to say that.
It's true.
And have you longed for me?
Shall I tell you?
No.
What a pity our marriage didn't work out.
Tragic.
I finally figured out why, did you?
Yes. You got bored.
No. It was because we loved each other so much. We tried to possess each other too fiercely.
That sounds like a song. You could put it to music.
Am I wrong?
You couldn't stand being possessed, could you? You always wanted to own without being owned.
Quite right.
May I go now?
No. What do you do, Kate?
When?
When you're not running a wedding. What is your life?
Busy, pleasant, full of activity.
What? I want to know. What do you do? Where do you go? How do you occupy yourself in the business of living?
Why?
To fill in a gap in my knowledge. I've thought about you, Kate, and wondered. It's never been out of sight, out of mind.
I am a happy, contented woman. Is that what you want to hear? No. I lead a dull life. That's what you want to hear, isn't it?
Only if it's true.
Of course. What else could it be? Buried away in this western backwater.
What do you do?
Good works, of course. I'm fairly bursting with good works.
Oh?
The Red Cross, the Museum of Art, and charities by the dozen. Convalescent children, guide dogs, errant mothers.
Errant what?
Mothers. The Pacific Rescue Home for Errant Mothers.
What is an errant mother?
One who neglected the formalities.
And you have a home for them?
Yes.
How nice to bring them together. When do you have fun?
All the time.
With Jim? You haven't mentioned him.
Everything I do has something to do with Jim.
And you have fun together?
Yes.
Not as we had. together?
No. I found a different kind of fun now. The fun of blessed tranquility.
You like that?
There's something about San Francisco that makes everything fun. You just have to be. You don't have to do. We have a place on Lake Tahoe we go to in summer, and in winter we go skiing as often as possible. A place high in the Sierras called Squaw Valley. There's always good snow, and we put up a cunning prefabricated log cabin.
A what?
What did I say?
I think you said a cunning prefabricated log cabin.
Oh, really? Does that make you shudder?
No, not at all.
Well, it's just a little shack to go skiing.
Well, of course, quite all right.
Well, it was much simpler than starting from scratch.
Yes, of course. Do you belong to the Book of the Month Club, too?
Oh.
Poor Kate.
Don't you poor Kate me.
You're wasted, Kate. That is my fault, isn't it?
Oh, please don't blame yourself.
You once had a rage to live.
Still have.
And the things you learned with me.
What things? The stand of my head in the Place Pigalle and whistle Dixie. In 6 years of being an international gypsy with you, I learned 4 languages and how to cook. I still speak the languages, and my dinner parties are the best in San Francisco. What else?
Everything else, poor Kate. And the mimosa does bring it back, doesn't it? You're lovely against the mimosa, Kate. And I can remember, high on a hill, against a dark sky, wind-blown and eager, fresh and young.
We're high on a hill in San Francisco. It's 1,080 years later, and I'm windblown every day of my life. Don't you turn it on for me, Pogo Pool. I'm an elderly, overweight clubwoman, and I like it, I like it, I like it.
It wasn't Dixie. It was Swanee River.
I despise seedy reminiscence.
The things we did were at times peculiar, but they were never seedy.
And you will kindly leave Jessica alone.
What do you mean by that?
There's no need to overwhelm her with your charm and make Roger look like an oaf.
I'm afraid I can't take credit for that. I'm sure he's a self-made man.
Well, stop trying to make her tired of him before she's even married.
Do you think it's just a matter of time?
There's no need for this elaborate seduction. She's yours. The birth certificate says so.
I had no idea the normal attentions of a loving father came under the heading of a seduction.
You're not a normal father.
I should hate to think that I was. What are you afraid of, Kate?
Oh, I wish I'd never come down. Now I'll have to take a sleeping pill.
Would you like one of mine? I have them made up by a little old witch doctor in Keene.
I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
You were quite right to slap my face.
No, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry.
You did exactly right.
It's just that you pushed at me, so
I know. I'm sorry. It was wrong of me. Would you like to hit me again?
Oh, no, thank you. Did it hurt?
Well, I must say your hand hasn't lost its touch.
Oh, I hate doing that. I thought I'd got over
it. Well, why should you get over it?
Oh, I'm a big girl now, grown up.
There's nothing particularly grown up about keeping things bottled in. It was one of the things I loved best about you. When you flared quickly, and the storm raged, but passed quickly, and then all was serene. Our fights were never touched with bitterness.
I'm glad of that.
And there was another thing, too. I never remember your hitting me without kissing me afterwards. For old time's sake, Kate, may I kiss you?
Okay.
Jim! Jim, what's happened?
I've broken every one of my goddamn toes. That's what's happened.
Oh, let me see.
Don't touch him.
What on earth did you do?
What did I do? Caught my foot in the damn carpet coming down to see what you were doing.
We weren't doing anything.
The hell you weren't. Ooh, stop that. Stop that. You'll break them all.
They're not broken. They're only stubbed.
How can you tell?
We were just talking over old times.
When I came in, you weren't saying a word. Just let me get my hands on you.
Jim.
Can I get you a drink?
No.
Well, let me help you up. Anyway.
Please, Jim. We'll get you onto this chair.
Take your hands off me.
There.
Here, have some of this.
I don't want your liquor.
It's yours.
How civilized. How terribly, terribly urbane. A man makes love to his former wife in her present husband's home, and when he's discovered, says, "Can I get you a drink? Shall we dance?"
Jim, I promise you, it was perfectly innocent.
Yes, of course.
What in the world happened?
I'll tell you what's happened.
Jim, stop it. Stop it right now.
I'll see you in the morning.
Jessica, I want you to come right to bed. Do you hear?
Ooh. I told you to fix that damn carpet last week.
Ooh. What happened, Father?
Oh, just a family thing. Nothing serious.
This isn't our night.
On the contrary, it isn't theirs. That cake looks good. Let's sit here, shall we?
What did you do?
I made a small pass at your mother. It was a cruel thing to do.
Why did you do it?
Just testing. This cake is good.
Oh, Jim looked awfully mad.
It was his own fault. He had no business barging in at that moment.
You really are immoral.
To make love to my ex-wife? I'd be a boor if I didn't.
If Mother had been receptive to your past, would you have gone on with it and seduced her?
Now, I find that question highly immoral.
Well, would you?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Are you shocked?
No. Intrigued.
That's my girl. We're two of a kind. But I won't try it again.
Would you think you frightened her?
She never used to scare that easy. I was madly in love with your mother.
Of course.
And now I'm madly in love with her daughter.
I should hope so. Is it because you see Mother young in me, or yourself?
You mustn't try to be perceptive. It's unbecoming in the young.
I think you have an infinite capacity for love, without the tenacity.
There. You see how easy it is to fall into error? It's probably the reverse.
How?
Tenacious in the pursuit of love, without the capacity.
Oh, no, that would be tragic.
You have grown up. Isn't it odd? I'd never pictured you grown up. Even when I got word of the wedding, I saw you as I last saw you. That chubby little thing in the portrait. And in all the years between, I've never given you much thought. Now I'm corroded with regret. Not remorse. Remorse was left out of me. But regret. You understand that?
Yes.
For all the things that we could have done together. All the good things of the world I'd have shown you.
But you did.
In a scrapbook. Second hand.
Perhaps it was better that way. Now you see me always grown up. But I was a chubby, awkward little thing till I was 16. I'd have cramped your style.
That's true. Ah, but now. The things I could show you now. Now that you're ready. There's a small, lonely island in the Aegean Sea where Rupert Brooke is buried. The grave lies in a small clearing, and the path up from the sea is rocky and overgrown. Have I said this to you before?
No.
Good. Ah, my dear, such things to see and do. To sail out of the Bay of Naples, down through the Straits of Messina, past Scylla and Charybdis, to the Isles of Greece, Ithaca, Naxos, the Cyclades, where blind Homer sang. I sing of arms and the man.
That was Virgil.
Don't be pedantic. We'd sail into the Gulf of Corinth. The water's so blue it's unreal, with the whitewashed houses of Delphi in the distance, and Parnassus looking just as it did when Agamemnon consulted the oracle. A friend of mine has a boat, a sleek white yawl. I can have it whenever I want it, tomorrow. All I have to do is to send him a cable.
Oh, Father, it sounds heavenly.
Shall I send it now?
What?
The cable. To say that I must have the boat, now that I have found the most enchanting girl of my life, and want to show her the world.
Oh, Father.
We'd sail up the Adriatic to my dream city, Venice, and tie up at the Piazza San Marco. And Venice at dusk. We'd go out to Torcello, far out on the lagoon, to a sweet little inn that has wonderful food and pomegranate trees blooming in the garden. Then we'd go down to Straw, where the lawns of the great houses sweep down to the river.
Oh, I must talk to Roger.
Roger?
Oh, yes, it sounds so enchanting. He might say yes.
To what?
To going, instead of to Hawaii.
I am not suggesting that I might be your guide on your honeymoon.
But...
Ah, Jessica, you've lived secondhand long enough. And I've so much to make up for. The hell with your scrapbook. I don't want to tell you what it's like in the Vale of Kashmir, or how the mountains rush down to black water in the deep fjords of Normandy. I want to show you.
What about Roger?
Send him a postcard.
We're getting married on Saturday.
You can always get married.
What would I say to him?
Just goodbye.
Father! You really are wicked. I know. You're testing again, aren't you?
Yes. Just testing.
Really? You mustn't talk to me in that way, Father. It's not fair.
It's the only way I know to talk to a woman. Even my daughter. I'm sorry.
Well, it is exciting. You weren't serious.
No. Of course not.
Oh, it was a cruel thing to do.
I know. I'm sorry. I got carried away.
We never will do those things, will we?
Probably not.
Oh, and I so often dreamed of doing them with you. Well, perhaps someday Roger and I will...
Yes, of course. You and Roger will do them. Listen to those horns. You live in a very musical city.
I love it on a foggy night. I know them all. The horns, the bells, the sirens.
Good night, daughter.
Good night, father.
Jim, something's going to happen. I know something's going to happen.
Sure, a wedding is going to happen. Day after tomorrow. Will you relax?
You shouldn't have sent that cable to Pogo.
You told me to send it.
Well, you should have ignored me. Jim, he's up to something.
Now, Kate, what could he be up to?
Well, how do I know? But I can tell. I had 6 years of that aging adolescent, and I can tell. After last night...
We agreed to forget last night, remember? He apologized to me this morning. Apologized handsomely. Now, forget
it. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
Then stop talking about it. Kate, you can't take a man like that seriously.
Oh, can't you?
You know, we're having a hell of a time figuring out what to call each other. He daren't call me Jim, and he won't call me Mr. Doherty. I won't call him Pogo, and I can't call him Biddeford. The result is I don't speak to him until I can see the whites of his eyes.
He sent a cable to France this morning.
Well, how do you know?
I happened to pick up the telephone. He was calling from upstairs. I didn't hear anything. He'd already sent it and was asking the operator when it would get to Nice.
And you just happened to pick up the telephone?
I most certainly have a right to pick up my own telephone.
Certainly, if you want to make a call.
Why did he send a cable to France?
Maybe he knows someone there. Frenchman.
Oh.
Kate, I promise you, everything's going to be all right. My idea for today was quite brilliant. I'm sure it's going to work.
I will bet you money it doesn't work.
Hey, it's bound to. When I talked to Roger this morning, he thought it was a great idea. Get Pogo out to the ranch for the day. Let Jessica see him against the background of Roger's good, simple life. Now, it's bound to turn the trick. Jessica's no fool.
No, but you and Roger are.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, hello, Father.
This cable has just come for Biddeford.
Jim, the answer to his cable. Thank you, Father.
Kate, what are you doing?
I'll need a pencil to open it.
Kate!
I used to be good at this.
Kate, I won't let you do it. I forbid you to do it.
Oh, don't be so silly. There. Now I should be able to unroll the flap.
Your daughter has criminal instincts, Mr. Savage.
She got them from me.
Kate, that is absolutely unforgivable. Give me that cable.
You keep away. I'm fighting for my daughter's happiness.
Happiness, my eye. You're just curious. You can't read someone else's mail.
It's not mail. It's a cable.
Well, that's worse.
Besides, he reads our mail.
Hmm?
I called him down here yesterday going through everything on this desk, including your doctor's report.
I don't believe it.
There.
Kate, please don't read it. What does it say?
My boat is berthed at Monte Carlo. All yours for 6 weeks. Who's the girl?
Who signed it?
Francois.
Francois?
French.
Well, who is the girl?
Who do you think?
Oh, come on, Kate. After the wedding, he's going back to Europe. He's got a date with a girl. He's borrowed a boat to go cruising. What could be more simple?
You, for one thing. Father, who's the girl?
Jessica?
Jessica. Oh, that son of a bitch.
Do you know, or are you guessing?
She's guessing. Kate, Jessica's being married on Saturday. No man would do a thing like that to his own daughter.
He'd do a thing like that to his own mother.
That would take a bit of doing.
When he sees what he wants, he takes it. And he wants his daughter, his charming daughter, to trot around the world showing her off. Pogo Poole and his enchanting long-lost daughter, the romantic heartbreak of it all. He'll have the women of Europe in tears.
You can't be sure.
Oh, what does he care if she's about to be married? Oh, I'll kill him. I swear I'll kill him.
Kate, you're not sure.
Do you think he's asked her?
No, and I don't think he's going to. And what makes you think Jessica would say yes? Kate, use your head.
Oh, my poor baby. Why couldn't he have been lost in darkest Africa and been trampled by elephants? Oh, oh, where's the glue? Where the hell's the glue?
Here.
Lean on me, Father.
Oh.
Careful now. Hi, old sir. How do I look?
Well... Have you been run over or something?
Hey, what happened?
He fell off a bull.
Fell off a...
I don't find that funny. Where do you want to sit, Father?
Oh, that'll be all right. I fell off a horse before that. It's been quite a day. For years, I've been saying I've never met a horse I couldn't ride. I met him.
You rode him very well, sir.
Yes, I thought I handled him well. The stirrups were too short, though. That's what did it.
How badly were you hurt? Kate, why don't you call Dr. Rudy?
No. It's nothing, really. Roger's veterinarian took very good care of me.
I think he should be x-rayed.
Nonsense. There's one thing I can say for myself. I'm not brittle. Turned my ankle a bit, sprained my wrist, cut my head. Nothing at all. But I'm afraid I frightened my little girl.
What were you doing on a horse?
You may remember, Kate, that I once spent 3 months in the Argentine and the Pampas with the gauchos.
No, it had slipped my mind.
What happened, Roger?
Oh, I thought it'd amuse Mr. Poole if we sort of had a little pickup rodeo. Some of the boys did some roping and rode a few broncs. And then we got out a couple of wild steers. And the next thing I knew, he wanted to try it, too. Well, I tried to stop him.
Oh, you tried to stop him? You told him he was too old.
Well...
Now, children...
And then you deliberately gave him the wildest horse on the ranch.
I didn't deliberately... Well, he's not the wildest horse on the ranch. I can ride him. Every one of my hands can ride him.
What I really wanted to ride was that horse with the spots. Now, what do you call that?
He'd have killed you.
Oh, come now.
And all the hands sitting around on the fence waiting to see Father look foolish.
Well, if a man wants to show off...
I take offense at that, Roger. I never show off.
And then the wild steer. Oh, Roger egged him on, Mother. He deliberately dared Father to ride him.
He insisted on riding him. Why would I dare a man to ride a wild steer? I'm not out of my mind. He might have been killed.
Oh, yes.
Nonsense. I just didn't get settled right on him, that's all. I'd like to try that again sometime, Roger.
Tomorrow?
Now, I think we've had enough of this. I'm fine. You mustn't feel outraged, daughter. I've had worse falls in my time. Why, only last winter, bobsledding at San Moritz. May I have a drink?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll get it, Jim.
I'll come with you. It's best to move around. Keep things from stiffening.
Oh, there's a cable for you.
For me?
Where did you put it, Kate?
On the desk. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Excuse me. Sticky. Just look at my fingers, Kate.
Nothing dries in this weather.
I'll just read it and then have a wash.
Well, what do you like, Father? Brandy and soda?
What? Oh, that'll be fine. Brandy for heroes. I'll come and give you a hand. Some of that old cognac. Don't you think...
Sure, I know where it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, relax, Roger. Calm down.
What's he trying to do? Make her hate me? Look, we're friends. Everything was fine. Then he moved in on
her. Now, Roger...
I don't like taking this kind of a beating. Jess hates me. Honest to God, she hates
me. She doesn't hate you, Roger.
Why doesn't he act his age?
That's a cruel question, Roger.
Mr. Savage, you know Jess well. She'll come out of this, won't she?
Not unchanged. She'll never be the same.
Why?
And the serpent said unto Eve, enjoy yourself. And she was never the same. It's not accurate, but it's apt.
Look, could we call the wedding off? If I can get her to elope tonight, would you let us?
Oh, Roger, no.
I don't think I can last until Saturday.
Now, Roger, this is tough on all of us, but... Uh-oh.
Why can't you last until Saturday?
Now, Jess...
You're not suggesting that Jessica choose between us, are you, Roger? You're on dangerous ground, my boy.
I'll take the chance.
Roger, why don't you and Jess go for a walk in the garden?
He'd come along. We may as well stay.
I wouldn't want to intrude.
You do.
Careful. I am her father.
No, you're not. I know about that. I raise bulls. I send out the seed all over the world and calves are born, but the bulls don't feel responsible. They don't care.
Ah, but I care.
Now? It's too late. You ran out on her and you blew it.
Roger.
I think I'm the judge of that, if you please.
No, I don't think so. You're mesmerized.
Roger, this isn't going to prove anything, please.
It's got to be said. I don't want it to be a running battle the rest of our lives.
We're together the rest of our lives.
We will be. I love you.
Oh,
don't you see that time will take care of it?
No. I want the girl I'm in love with, and he's done things to Jess that scare the hell out of me.
Oh, like what?
Like making you feel that life with me would be dull, and that the only romantic, glorious thing is to go knocking around the world, doing nothing, being idle, having a ball.
I don't think life with you would be dull.
You're getting there fast, because he does, don't you?
I should think there would be a few dull moments.
He doesn't go knocking around the world doing nothing, being idle. Well, he's a famous big game hunter, and he was on the Olympic bobsledding team, and he won the sailing championship.
I don't care if he's the tiddlywinks champion of the world. I care about you and me. I want you to be satisfied with the life we're going to have. I don't want you to be unsettled.
I'm not unsettled.
The hell you're not.
But you don't have to sneer at his life.
I don't sneer... Yes, I do. You're damn right I do.
Roger.
I don't like idle people. I don't think there's anything romantic about a man who doesn't work. My father, who started from scratch and fought his way through a depression and built up a ranch and a life for his family. He's the most romantic guy in the world compared to him.
You were right, Kate. He can talk. Could I trouble someone to telephone and see me on a plane to Paris tonight?
Oh, no.
Now, daughter, though you two are not yet joined together, I'd rather not be the man to put you asunder.
But you've got to be here on Saturday.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't want to give you away now. So I'd just as soon be somewhere else. Don't you agree, Roger?
No, sir. If Jessica wants you here, so do I.
Well said, but no. Think of the faces of the wedding guests if we were to start trading punches at the altar. And we might.
Roger!
This sure gives us a great start, doesn't it, Jess? Will you come for a walk?
No.
All right, but look. You don't have to get married. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's tying you down. But you've got to know what you want, and you've got to make up your mind. Because if you marry me, it's for keeps. Excuse me.
Jim, go after him.
Sure. Roger!
Don't be distressed, daughter. I know you'll be happy, and I'll be thinking of you on Saturday when I'm alone out there over the ocean.
There'll be other people on the plane. Now look, you can stop all those hearts and flowers and behave. You'll stay until Saturday and appear at the church, and then you can get the hell out, jet-propelled if possible.
I'm glad I came, Jessica. Be sure you remember that. I'll always be happy I came, and I'll treasure the memory of these few days I've had with you.
Hogo?
Mr. Savage, would you be good enough to telephone for me? I'm a bit incapacitated.
Yes, I will, Biddeford. Paris, tonight.
It is a far, far better thing I do than I have ever done.
Oh, God.
It is a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known.
Wait to, Biddeford. Your plane doesn't leave for 2 hours.
At a time like this, you don't wait upon the order of your going. You go.
Have you seen Jessica?
The door's locked. It's just as well. I think I said it all.
You most certainly did. I'm puzzled about that, Biddeford. She has a good mind. I'm proud of her mind. And yet she didn't recognize the sham behind the heroics. Why?
Too much emotion.
And yet she will, in time. You realize that.
But then perhaps later in time she'll realize that behind the sham there was a kind of truth.
What is truth? Oh, I take that back. It's been asked. Was there?
Was there what?
Truth behind the sham.
There was.
But then again in time she may realize that in back of the truth was a sly Machiavellian duplicity. What then?
I would hope that she'd laugh.
I like you, Biddeford.
Thank you, sir. That's important to me.
In my early years as a newspaper man, I developed a weakness for rascals. And though I struck many a blow for reform and cried with the others, throw the rascals out, I always got lonesome after a while and wanted to throw them back in. You know, I thought you had her there for a while.
So did I.
What was it that licked you? The things Roger said?
No, I can beat him at words. It was something more basic. The sexual appeal of a young bull in his prime. Nothing more. No father can compete with that.
Not unless he wants to be thrown in jail.
Would you say, as the young bull suggested, that I am essentially worthless?
No man can see another man clearly. You can only guess at him.
What would you guess?
You're one of a fast disappearing breed, Biddeford.
I know. The sybarite in a sober world. This is no time to be trivial. That's been said.
I didn't intend to say it. I hope you denied it.
I did.
I do.
I was going to say, there are men who can order a dinner, but cannot order their lives.
I'm quite a methodical sybarite.
And to order a dinner takes a kind of integrity, eh? Stick to your guns, Biddeford.
I am fortified by conceit.
Well, every man must find his armor against the world. Conceit is one, whiskey's another. Let's leave it there.
I am obsessed by beauty and danger, and spend my life in the search. Is that trivial?
I spend my life on a point of land trying to be Thoreau and failing. Who am I to judge?
I'm sorry I asked.
Quite right. You don't need the approval of old men and young bulls. And you have your daughter's approval. Ah, there you are, person.
Jessica.
I'm going with you, Father. I've packed those two bags and...
Where's your mother?
I'll go see her in a minute. But first... Will you take me?
You see, sir, sex isn't everything.
That's what I keep telling myself.
Jessica, perhaps it would be better if we just go, and then you can phone your mother from the airport.
Jessica, have you seen... Jessica, where are you going?
Oh, mother.
Now, Kate...
All right, you.
She made up her own mind.
Jessica, take those bags and go up to your room.
I'm going to Europe with Father.
You're going up to your room.
Mother, I'm not a child.
You most certainly are. Think of Roger.
I'm old enough to marry him. I'm old enough to jilt him.
Right.
Father! Mother, it's no use. I'm going.
Jessica, 48 hours before the wedding, you don't suddenly decide not to get married because you'd rather go to Europe.
Best reason in the world.
Can't think of a better.
Well, what about Roger?
I wrote him a letter.
Oh, that's just dandy. He can pass out copies at the church. Darling, you love him. You know you do.
That's not the point. She's not ready to get married.
She was ready until you came along. She was panting.
Nonsense. Look at her. Incomplete, unfulfilled... quivering on the threshold of life.
Oh, Father.
She'll be fulfilled day after tomorrow.
Don't be vulgar. I'm going to take her out of this trivial life full of prefabricated log cabins.
But I like it here.
You do?
Yes. And I want to come back. Oh, Mother, it's just for a year. Your Father will have me that long.
Forever.
No, just a year. I think you get bored after that.
Bored?
You figured that out.
Yes, I've written it all to Roger. Oh, I'm not asking him to take me back after a year. If I'm going to jilt him, I want to do it fair and square.
Good girl.
But if he's still here and alone when I come back and still wants me... Mother? Father? I don't think either one of you sees the point.
Well, of course your mother doesn't,
but... you don't either. I love Roger, Father. Well, you can't see that because you don't know him, but I do. And I want to marry him. And have his children and live his life. Oh, it'll be a good life for me. Mother, I know I'm taking an awful chance. I may lose it all, but no matter. There's something I have to do first for my father.
For me?
Yes. The things Mother said last night.
What did you say, Kate?
That you're alone.
What else?
That you need someone to love you, to... to look to you for joy?
To give you substance.
I wasn't aware that I needed substance. It seems you had quite a chat.
Oh, no. You said it yourself the day you came. So little time. So little time.
You mustn't take me so literally.
But I do. And now I've come back to give away something I never had. You said that, too.
That was true.
But it's not fair, don't you see? Oh, you mustn't be alone. Oh, it's not fair, Mother. No matter what's happened in the past, it's not fair. He needs me now to fill up the emptiness. If I were to let him go away now alone, I should feel a lack in myself all my life. And a sense of failure. Because I never let my father be with his daughter just for a while. His daughter. Newly discovered. Newborn. Full grown. To give him love and comfort. And unquestioning worship.
Kate, you have your revenge. Old man?
Yes, Biddeford?
Is this how one falls into old age? Pushed from behind?
Would you like me to go with you, Biddeford?
Mother, what is it? Oh! But then there is another thing, too. I am my father's daughter. And it would be such glorious fun. Such fun.
Blood will tell. You mean it. You'd have fun.
All the things I've wanted to do with you.
The Isles of Greece, the Isles of Greece.
Were burning Sappho loved and sung.
Jessica.
Oh, Mother, I want to live in every direction.
Oh, God, there speaks her father.
And I'm sure I can swim the Hellespont if I try. I'm a very strong swimmer.
And I'll row the boat. Kate, she's mine. Let her go.
No. Jessica, go up to your room.
Mother, all my life I've done the expected. For a while, I want to wake up in the morning wondering what's going to happen to me today.
The most fabulous things in the world.
What things? To stand on a head in the Place Pigalle?
Yes.
Oh, Mother, you did it all. Give me a chance.
I was young.
So am I.
So am I.
Oh, for a gun. If I just had a gun.
Daughter, if she were about to run off with a romantic young fool who offered her the moon and the stars and love and the mountaintops, I'd say not to chance it.
But this romantic young fool is her father.
Right.
Father, please.
You're a fool, Pogo. In a year, she'll see right through you.
I see through him now.
Of course she does.
She'll marry a Balkan and stay there.
No, I won't.
I promise to shield her from all Balkans.
And bring her back safe to God's country.
Amen.
Daughter, she does not wish to live what is not life. Living is so dear. She wants to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life.
Will you stop quoting Thoreau at me?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, the things my grandfather taught me. And I can quote Thoreau, too. For I learned this, at least. That if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. If you have built castles in the air, that is where they should be. Now put the foundations under them.
God bless you, my love.
Oh, Mother, let me go.
No.
Kate, give me a chance to make up for last year's. My years with you were such glorious years. Give me a chance to relive them with my daughter.
You can't go back.
I can with her. Remember the things we did together.
No, I won't. I can't. I won't remember.
I can. I have total recall. I remember your first sight of Paris and our first apartment on the Ile Saint-Louis. The day I led you by the hand through the streets of Paris to the cookery school, like father and child on the first day of term. And you, frightened because you wanted to be the best cook in the world for me, and were afraid you'd be stupid and not learn a thing. And standing in front of the school like a child, you wanted to turn and run.
Jessica knows how to cook.
Not like that.
Kate, there's an island named Skyros in the Aegean Sea where Rupert Brooke is buried. It was raining that day, but you insisted on going. The path from the sea was overgrown and neglected, and our feet were wet when we got to the clearing. And as you laid your flowers on the grave...
Oh, no.
We had the romantic idea that the sun would come out. But it didn't. And after a while, we turned around and went back. On a hot, dusty day in a small town in Sicily, we heard the call of a wooden trumpet and found a young boy who would tell our fortune. He was not more than 17, with black eyes and black curls and a tall, pointed hat. And you said that he looked like a Renaissance page.
Oh...
And the fortune, long life and happiness, and many babies.
No, no.
Kate, I walked through the streets of Draguignan 2 years ago, remembering you, and up the hill to the old ruined castle, and down into the dungeon where we went looking for dragons, and found only an old turtle.
You can't go back. You can never go back.
Yes, you can.
No, it's no good to try. It's wrong to go back.
Only if you're alone. It's no good alone. Kate, let me go back with my daughter.
Oh, God.
Mother?
It was the damn turtle that did it.
We go.
Mother!
Go, quick.
Biddeford, I haven't seen Europe for over 50 years. Has it changed much in half a century?
Come and see, sir.
Oh, I'm hale and hearty. No ailments to speak of.
Grandfather, come and see.
Goodbye, daughter.
Goodbye, father.
Grandfather, what's the matter? Oh, Grandfather, come along.
That was a close one. I almost lost my pose, didn't I?
Oh, Grandfather, you don't mean...
I'm the man in the ivory tower, remember? Have fun, Percy.
Oh, Grandfather.
Goodbye, Kate.
Goodbye, Mother. Jessica, are you sure you've got your passport? And the little yellow card that goes with it? It's your smallpox vaccination. They won't let you back in the country without it.
Don't worry, Kate. She'll be back in 6 weeks.
In The Pleasure of His Company by Cornelia Otis Skinner and Samuel Taylor, adapted for radio by Peggy Wells, George Baker played the part of Biddeford Poole, Vivian Drummond, Kate, and Belinda Carroll played Jessica. Jim was played by John Glenn, Mackenzie Savage by Robert Henderson, and Roger by Glenn Beck. The play was produced by Archie Campbell.